Always be prepared. Yes, I was not a Boy Scout, and it's showing right now. Okay, obviously, we've got more kids in here. That's already been stated. So I just want to mention that, you know, it's going to be a little noisier. Please don't fret or distress over that, because we understand, we get it. It is the job description of little kids to make noise, and so we're good with that. I'm doing my best this morning to keep things concise. So I walked up here without a microphone, and that didn't help. But did the kids get coloring papers? I designed a little coloring page for the kids. And if the kids didn't get a coloring page, or if there's an adult who wants a coloring page, they've got them back there. You can actually just throw your hand up if you got a kid around there, and somebody will get that to you and some crayons for you. We're going to be baptizing some people this morning, and that's really cool. And as Blake mentioned, if you haven't been baptized and you would like to be, come on up after the service and we'll talk about that. So we're going to continue in our study in the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to do my best, as I said, to make this concise. So this will be a little bit quicker than our normal teaching, but, you know, for you guys, that's kind of like, well, finally, thank you, Lord. But if you've got a Bible and you want to follow along, if you'll go to Mark chapter 4, please, we're going to pick up where we left off last time. Last week, Lance Ford did a really great job of telling us about the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, or the parable of the ears. Where it all went together, but he did a really great job, didn't he? I thought it was awesome. I mean, it was very convicting. But apart from that, it was a really good teaching. Last week we saw, as we were looking at this, Jesus, you know, was talking about how we receive the word of God's kingdom break in, the word of God's plan, which is the gospel. You know, how it is that we receive it, how we're listening to it, how we're taking it in, and stuff like that, and how our hearts respond to it. In our text this week, Jesus is going to tell two stories that seem to minimize human agency. And first, we're going to read about a farmer who plants crops and then goes about his life, and the crops grow, but he didn't really understand how all that works. He didn't really know, you know, how they're growing or anything. There's a children's song that I wasn't familiar with, but somebody else had mentioned, so that's kind of what I kind of built this around. O's, peas, beans, and barley grow. Have you ever heard that song? Well, if you haven't, you're in luck. I'm going to play it for you. So this is what it goes like. It goes like this. And it keeps going on like that. So now, it's a really cute song. It's a devastatingly powerful earworm, maybe weapons grade. And so good luck getting that out of your head for the rest of the day. But it's only fair because it's been going through my head since I first discovered that. But we're gonna look at this. We're going to read this. And this is kind of the theme. You know, all these things grow. Do we really understand all of this? And Jesus is going to tell a story to get us to think about that a little bit. So if you're there in Mark chapter 4, we're going to pick up with verse 26. And I kind of laid this out for the kiddos also. We kind of got a little kids book going on here today. So in verse 26, we'll pick up there. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's sleeping or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens, and as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." So once again, we're considering seeds, just like we did last week, and the seeds are still going to be representative of the same thing that they were last week. They represent the message, this message of God's kingdom breaking into the world, the good news that God's reign is here, that he's ready to set things back to right and turn this mess of the world around. And Jesus seems to agree with the children's song that we played. Do you or I or anyone know how the kingdom of our God will grow? How does God's kingdom and his work of redemption sprout and abound in an individual's heart or life or within the bounds of a church or within our community or in the world around us? I mean, if we could figure that out, You know, we could break it all down into a process and develop a strategy that we could get busy with and have measurable results to know how this all works. But just in case we start to think that this is something that we're doing, something that we're accomplishing, that the kingdom of our God is ours to work out or establish here somehow, to achieve, Jesus comes along and he tells us this nice story of a farmer scattering seeds on the ground and then just hanging out and waiting. The whole wording of this downplays human agency. This is not a story about what we do. Certainly, we have roles to play in this, but when it comes to the actual thing that we're looking for, there's very little that human agency has to do with it. It's a story about the mystery of new life that is not ours to control. The point that Jesus is making is that the gospel has inherent power in itself to produce life. The human agency in this story that scatters the seed, throws the seed all around, and then it gathers in the fruit of that seed once it's grown and produced all of that. But the in-between is a story about waiting around for the active agent to do its thing. You know, hanging out, you know. Ultimately, the advance of God's kingdom is like this, because when we talk about the gospel, we talk about the good news of God's kingdom, we are talking about new creation. We're talking about this same idea of it's a story of Genesis 1 all over again, of things being put back right the way God originally intended them to be. God's work of redemption here in us and in this world can't be boiled down to a process that we understand or that we now control. And that is one of the greater points that he's trying to make in this, given what had happened within the religious institutions of Jesus' day. Redemption, God's plan, isn't dependent on us doing, you know, getting all of these theologies right or getting all of these things right or getting everybody in order. The kingdom of God, and this is important for us, is not dependent on us getting the right politicians in place or the right laws passed. Those are not the things that bring about the kingdom of God. That's just more evidence of our desire to control something that only God is going to be able to do in changing hearts. Because we can do all kinds of things with laws and stuff like that, but a law will never change a human heart. Only God is going to do that. But again, we've got our part to play in it, scattering and gathering. But the fruition of this, it belongs to God alone. God's the only one who's going to make this happen in somebody's life. And it's going to happen over time. That's what's even evident in this story. You know, this stuff takes time. And there's a rhythm in this as he's describing it here that begins with widely scattering seed. You know, that carries even back over to the parable from last week. You know, indiscriminate. The farmer's out there throwing seeds everywhere. He's not taking soil samples, you know, before he's going to put any seed down on anything. You know, it's just going everywhere. And some of it doesn't come to fruition, but it doesn't matter to him because that doesn't seem to play into his thing. He's just got all this seed and he's just going to scatter it everywhere. We've got all this seed. We've got all this good news and potential and hope that we can give everywhere. We don't have to figure out whether somebody's going to be worth it or not. That's not our part in it. So we just widely scatter the seed. And it all happens through these many seemingly insignificant words and deeds that bear witness to God's new creation, that can bear witness to the reality that God is able to renew things and redeem things. We can look at our own lives and say, we know he's good because of what he's done here in my own heart and how he's changed how I understand myself and the world around me. And then we just prayerfully, you know, we do this. We live this stuff out. And then we prayerfully wait to see what God is going to grow and bring about in people's lives. We don't have to twist anybody's arm. We don't have to strong arm. We don't have to pass a law against them. We don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. We scatter these seeds of God's love, prayerfully wait. And then when we see what grows, then we go and start gathering it in. We draw this thing that God has done into community as we wait on the Lord and continue on this same process. So when God has done his thing, and some seed thrown by us or maybe somebody else, or some seeds long forgotten, out of sight. I didn't even remember I said that. I didn't know that that was said to you or done for you or whatever. And then it begins to bear fruit in someone's life and they're beginning to ask questions and seek and wonder how they can reconnect with their Creator, then we have this awesome responsibility of reconciliation, of drawing these people into the community of God and affirming in their hearts that this is true, that God is doing this new creative work in our lives, acknowledging them as fellow witnesses to the power of Christ in this world, as fellow members of the family of Jesus. In fact, Jesus goes on to make this point. We keep reading here in verse 30. How are we doing? Are we all right? I'm going fast, okay? So verse 30, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds make nests in its shade. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Okay, so we live in this Western culture that prizes big events. Like we want, the biggest whatever. We want, if it's a ministry, we want the biggest ministry. We want big, everything. Big events, big concerts, big Macs, and we even want those supersized. I mean, we're steeped in superhero mythology. Like the biggest, and listen, I like superhero stuff. I read the comics. I'm in. But you think about it, the biggest selling movie that we got going on right now, it's a superhero. It's a box office thing. We're steeped in the idea of things being bigger than life. And we have this ongoing dilemma as a culture right now, experiencing something called FOMO. You know what we're talking about in that, the fear of missing out. The fear that our lives and activities are too mundane and all the big things that are going on, as we look through somebody else's Instagram and, oh, they've got the real stuff happening. It's big and it's wonderful. It's beautiful. And Jesus comes along and he just tips all of that over onto its head and says, forget that. Forget all that noise. Forget all of that stuff. Don't be running around trying to grow the biggest thing you have going on. Don't be trying to make those kind of things happen that only God is going to be making happen. In fact, the very idea that he's expressing these explosive truths through parables is acting out the very parable that he's telling. He's telling these profound, earth-changing truths through little stories that seem insignificant. Don't even have a punchline at the end. It's like little stories, and he doesn't explain it to everybody that's there. And, everybody's like, well, that was interesting. And then they go along. But that's the thing about parables. They're like truth time bombs. They're like ticking away in the back of your head as you're thinking about it and thinking about it. All of a sudden, boom. Oh, I realize now. He wasn't talking about farming at all. He was talking about something completely different than that. And so this is the nature of what it is that God is doing. This short parable here is telling us quite plainly that God chooses to grow his kingdom through seemingly insignificant methods. Mother Teresa is famously quoted as saying, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. And if we could keep that in mind as we go about our daily lives, if we'd remember that God's at work in all of these things, that God's at work all the time through all of the things that are happening in our lives. Lance Ford, I've always got to make a distinction because we've got Lance, our security guy, but then there's Lance Ford. He was leading the small group on Sunday mornings for a while on this Missional Essentials workbook. During one of the sessions, we were kind of talking about, listening to the Holy Spirit, and we were sharing our experiences of, listening to the Holy Spirit as it concerned our neighborhoods, listening for how the Holy Spirit may be leading us with our neighborhoods. And so as people were sharing their experiences, Gail Williams was talking about how she felt prompted by the Holy Spirit as she was praying about it and thinking about that, prompted by the Holy Spirit to go sit out on her front porch. And so she went out there, and lo and behold, there was her neighbor out there who, had some issues going on or whatever, and she had an opportunity to begin talking to her, and, it seemed some fruitful things were happening there in her, something beneficial there. But you think about this, we imagine the Holy Spirit when we're thinking about, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to guide us and to do something or whatever, and we're imagining the Holy Spirit's going to say, yeah, get out there and get this big thing going on, or, you know, turn things around, or get out there and, you know, shake the neighbors up or whatever. Then it's some big activity or big work. But here, Gail was listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit had said, yeah, go sit down over there for a little bit. Just go out to the front porch and then have a seat and wait for a little bit. You know, we don't ever want to forget that God is in the mundane stuff too. We don't ever want to forget he's the God of the mundane as well as the big things that happen in this world. And as he's pointing out in this, he's using these mundane things that actually don't seem significant at all to transform this world and turn this world upside down. You think about the gospel, some little beat up nobody colony in Rome, in ancient Rome, some rabbi that most people couldn't even pronounce his name outside of the Jewish people that he grew up with. And you know, he comes along and shares these truths and undergoes all of these amazing events. And that band of people that come from that amazing event that took place in this nowhere world has transformed the world that we live in. The world that we live in now is completely different from the ancient world prior to the time that Jesus came along. And, you know, do a little bit of research into history. You'll see the profound changes that have taken place. But it all started from this small thing, and it's taken time. And that's what, you know, this is what he's trying to get across here. Things that we have to remember. You know, kind of take the pressure off of us when it comes to this. Because, you know, there's a tendency to get pressurized from this. We hear these stories about Scottish seas, you got to do this. There's this big thing going on, and it is a big thing. It really is. It's huge. And, you know, so you start to feel the pressure. I got to get going. I'm wasting my time. I'm just sitting here on my front porch. What am I doing? I got to do something. And this is the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus speaking to us through this, saying, okay, take a breath. It's all right. Get immersed in the patterns and the rhythms of my grace and see what's going to happen as you do that. We don't have to be big celebrities. We don't have to have powerful jobs or positions. Kids, if you're listening at this point, you don't even have to be an adult. You can be used by God to demonstrate the reality of God's love in this world and have that transformative effect. We can bring God's good into this world and alert people of a good world to come. So let's be encouraged to harness all aspects of our lives for the purpose of being seed scatterers, to harness all this, the mundane things, sitting on the porch, whatever it may be, how God may want to use that to scatter seeds in this world. Let's ask God to use us, but then let's just be patient and attentive to those ways in which he may be developing things and growing fruit and at work in people's lives. Remember, it's not up to us to build a new creation. That's never been our responsibility. That is God's work. Our part is to bear witness to the potential and the reality of that, to bear witness to the hope that we have, that God is indeed making all things new. And then let's wait. Let's see what God will do as we take up this task of in small ways, in words and in deeds, demonstrating the reality that Jesus Christ does indeed love us and wants a new life for us in him. Right on? All right, very cool. That wasn't too bad, right? We got through that. That was like super quick. Now, don't hold me to this. Yeah. So, why don't you go ahead and stand up with me, if you will, because we're going to be closing up here. Now, as I said before, if you are going to be baptized, are the people that are going to be baptized, are they here right now? Anybody? That's scary. But either way, we'll figure it out. If you're going to be baptized, please come up and talk to me. Also, did we do the seeds thing? So where, what do I do with that? Are they up there? Liz? So, okay, so they go by you or? Okay. So what we've got, we got something with a little takeaway from this, a little packets of seeds that Liz has in baskets back there. So as you're leaving today, grab a packet of seeds. It'll give you something to talk about with your kids if your kids were here. If you didn't have your kids here or you don't have kids, just take a packet of seeds. It'll give you something to think about. But it's a tangible way of taking this away and thinking about how this is working, what it is that God is doing, and how this is all taking place in our lives. So be sure to grab a packet of seeds. And am I forgetting anything else?